Excuse me, I've had a cold all week. I'm mostly over it, but it's still in my head a little bit, so I'll sound a little gravelier than normal, and I might be using my water a little more than normal, so please excuse me. I'll try to refrain from clearing my throat as much as I can. Well, we're going to continue this morning with our study of gospel community. We probably have this class and one more, depending on how we do with the lesson today, and in February, we're probably going to start a new study, and we'll give you some more information about that in the coming weeks. Probably have one more of these, and I might come back to this at different times, but I've covered most of the material that I had in my mind had wanted to come up with, a couple more outlying items, but I think we've done enough. So we're going to think about gospel-saturated communication one more time today. I want us to be more on the application side. We talked about the motivation of that gospel-saturated communication, assumptions and our situation, and we're going to review those in just a minute. But today I want to look at the application. And remember, we're talking about gospel-saturated. For a gospel community, how can our communication, how can we interact with each other, be saturated with the gospel? We thought first with our motivations last time, basic motivations, why we obey God. We trust Him. We trust that He is right because He has saved us, because He has done it. He's done all that hard. We trust that we should follow Him. We hope in Him. We find this to be hard to do, but because He has done it all, He's done this great work, we can hope that He is going to accomplish His work in us, and we can follow Him and obey Him, and we respond in loving God. And that leads us to our great outworkings of action, which is love to God, devotion, and service to others. And this is where we find our motivation, where we're focused on our motivation for gospel-saturated communication. Do we have a desire to show our love for God by serving others? Is that how we're using our words? We're using with a clear motivation in our minds to serve others. That's how we show our love for the Lord. Those two, devotion and service, are never disconnected. Then we talked about some assumptions in that gospel-saturated communication, assuming the good. Remember, you assume there is good. God's working in their lives, whoever you're talking to. Focus on that good. Move towards that good so your conversation is moving towards that good. And as you're receiving that information, the communication, assuming goodwill, assuming that they want what's best for you. And then the situation, no one helped me with a better word, so we're still stuck with situation, is, you know, the friendship, the gospel-saturated communication. We should be in a community where we know each other, we're trusting, we're building in that relationship. We have the wisdom and righteousness of the Word of God filling that communication, and we have self-control, which is required for gospel-saturated communication. And so today now, I want to talk about application, and depending on how much we talk about this and how much interaction we have, this may be difficult to get through. So I might have to do a little bit of this next week. We'll see how this goes. But I want to start first with the applications of speaking. How do we apply this now? And I would really like a lot of interaction about thinking through how do we apply this as we are speaking. And I'm going to rely pretty heavily on Wayne Mack's book, Strengthening Your Marriage. I actually thought the communication section in his marriage book was so helpful that I thought it was good for us in general just to think about. So I relied, especially in this first speaking part, I've reordered things, it was a very helpful section. And I remembered how helpful it was to me and Christy. And I thought, well, we've been married 10 years. We need to go through that again. It's a really good book. But I relied heavily on that for this section. Okay. So what's the first step? We're thinking about our speaking to one another. First thing, he didn't put this first, but I thought this would be a thing to put first, is are we praying about how we're speaking to each other? Particularly if you're having to speak to somebody about something hard. You're going to talk to somebody about a sin you see. You're going to talk to somebody about a difficulty. Are you starting with prayer? Praying that the Lord would be with you to guide your words. And I'm going to put a couple verses up here. Man, I'm in a bad spot. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. When we pray, when we come to the Lord I have this hard conversation I want to engage in, praying resettles us back in trusting the Lord. It says, Lord, this is going to be hard. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding here. I'm intentionally now, as I pray, I'm asking you, Lord, to come. Your will be done. Would you please guide me in this? So it helps us by praying before we enter into those speaking, entering that difficulty, we're leaning on the Lord's understanding. We're engaging and trusting the Lord. But I thought of I think maybe I'll skip this one. This might take a little bit more explaining that maybe I don't want to do. I'm going to skip this one. All right. Psalm 19:14. This is what I thought. Maybe this is kind of a prayer that we should get more used to praying for every day. I mean, I think we get so used to coming to church and we're going to talk. We're going to use our words. Are we thinking how important that is? As I come into the community of the believers, I'm thinking, how can I be useful today? How can I use my words in a pleasing way, Father? And so this prayer from Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Just remembering, as I come to encourage somebody else, maybe you're sitting in your car in the parking lot before you come in, say, Lord, would you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight today? And what does that do? That just helps us refocus as we come into church. The way I use my words is really important. This is the glue that's binding our congregation together. It's how we share our minds and encourage one another, how we show grace in a really, really meaningful way, how we're using our words. And so maybe that comes in then with an elevated sense of how I'm going to use my important. I want to say something meaningful, helpful. I want to be useful to God today. And again, I want to elevate what it is to be a community, to be a gospel community. That we're not just here to talk about sports, and that's good, that's fine. But we're here to encourage one another in the way, in a difficult world, spiritually encouraging each other. So just remembering, just starting with prayer and bringing that into this discussion of how do we speak to one another helps just elevate that a little bit. To remember how important this is. Now, I didn't ask for a lot of feedback on this one, but we're going to get a little bit more questions in a few minutes. But starting with prayer, and then I have a list of questions that we should ask ourselves. So first, the first question is, do I need to speak? Especially when dealing with sin, especially when that sin is directed towards me, do I need to respond? Now, if we're not dealing with sin, that's an easy answer. So you come into church, yes, you should speak. So if you're not dealing with sin, yes. But if you are, then it's good to wrestle with this. Remember 1 Peter. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. How is this going to inform that reasoning in our minds, whether we should speak or not? Not rhetorical.
And maybe the simple choice is just not to speak or not, and to cover over the offense and to let it pass by.
Right, so you're covering that. And now, what thinking would you bring into that? Can I cover it over or not? What should be part of that thinking process? Rob?
In years to come, there's still going to be something that comes up in my mind.
Okay, right. Is it something I can cover over? Is it something that I can let go of? Or is it something really is getting me in a and for the sake of our relationship, I need to do this. If I can, I'm not sure I can let it go, right? That's good. What else should we be considering in that? Rob?
Is it my own preferences that are being offended, or is there something that is moral here that needs to be dealt with?
So did you hear that? Is it like a preference issue? So, okay, maybe that's easier to get rid of. But if it's a moral issue, so that brings us into my concern for that brother or sister. This is an issue that I'm concerned for you, and it would not be loving to cover it over, right? Because I feel like this is something that would be dangerous to you. I think this is something I need to talk to you about. But that's the kind of thing you want to think about. Murray?
So that ties very much to, do you see this as a pattern, or is this just once? I find that in a management role at work. I have to wrestle with, is this just a one-time thing? Do I go correct it? No. But if it's, I'm trying to solve a long-term issue, I've got to deal with it. And the same thing with
here. Yeah, right. So was this maybe a momentary lapse? And let's give a little grace. Let's cover it over. That was a bad situation. Or is this a pattern that we're seeing? And they're saying, well, no, this really is more dangerous. That elevates that question. But I think it's something we should ask. We shouldn't just jump to the gun of shooting off our mouth. We just start thinking. That's the self-control aspect of this. Is this something I need to speak about? Mike, back there. Right, so that's really thinking about that need. And that, again, so it goes back to that motivation of service. Is serving this brother the motivation of my words? Do I need to speak to this brother because I'm serving them, or this sister because I'm serving them? Yeah?
Mm. So our hearts are motivated by fear, not love, and we may justify ourselves by saying, well, I this is just one of those things I'm going to cover. And yet, if we do that and we never think about that person the same way again,
yep.
We kind of realize we're keeping them at arm's length, and
yep.
We're not going to let them in, and it's just, you know, it's a slow destruction of a relationship, then we can't keep silent about it,
because right.
Then our hearts are wrong.
So that pulls in several different lines of reasoning, right? Is it a pattern? Am I seeing this? Is it going to form a pattern? Am I not going to be able to relate to them in love after this? Is it really going to so impact me? But again, so that the motivation is serving this person. Am I going to be able to continue to be in relationship with them and love them? Or is this going to so fracture that relationship that I'm not going to be able to? So for the good of that relationship, to serve them, I have to share with them, you know, what's going on with me. Or what's going on with the situation, or bring up their behavior.
Paul, another thing that was brought up, I think Michelle may have mentioned it last time, the question of whether our relationship will bear that. You know, it's kind of the flip side of what Allison was saying.
Right. Mm-hmm.
From there, we have enough relationship, we have enough friendship built up already that it's appropriate for us to be the one.
That's right. So that going back to the, do I have that situation? Do I have the, have I earned the trust to speak this? Is this, we're going to talk about what is at the right time in a few minutes, but have I earned that? Do I think I have a way of speaking constructively into the situation? I think what Mike was saying, who's the weaker vessel there? Is what I have to say going to be so hurtful to that person that maybe it's not, that I think it's going to come to the time, then that's going to elevate that. Again, so we have to think about that. And again, this is all, we have to weigh those different things. Sometimes you do fear hurting that relationship, but it's so dangerous. You're saying, friend, I know you might never want to talk to me again, but I love you so much, I have to say this, right? So all those things have to be kind of weighed in with the situation. But it's good to do that, to work through that. So using self-control, things should, do I need to speak here? Maybe I can pass this over, or maybe I can't. So if we're dealing with something that we cannot pass over, it would not be loving to pass over. I didn't read the verse here. Thinking of love, and maybe we've already talked about everything I want to say here. But when asking the question, do I need to speak, am I going to be loving? Am I seeking my own? Have I just been provoked? So I'm just responding because I've been provoked? Going back to those motivations, why am I responding? Am I just taking into account, am I just being sensitive? Am I just taking into account a wrong suffered? If I'm just being sensitive, that they're just hurt, am I being overly sensitive? Or am I able to bear it? Can I believe the best for this person and hope the best? Thinking with all those things in that that complex of ideas, do I need to speak? All right. That was good. So then, again, I had a point that if you feel like you need to speak, it's probably go back to step one and pray about that again. Say, okay, Lord, I do need to speak. Now I need, God, please help me. Help my words be good. Help my words be thoughtful. You could almost put prayer in between every question. When you feel you're going to move forward, but more, okay, I need to pray. God, Lord, help me think this through. And just continuing to trust in the Lord in all these different aspects. Is my attitude right? What attitude should we be striving for? Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So what attitudes, from this verse, and we'll look at one or two more, what attitudes should we be looking for? A little bit of focus, leave that alone. What do you think? Yep, John?
I think overall, it's speaking from gratitude, grace, time, and the heart that we're getting. And the kicker is that last section is Christ also has forgiven you.
Right.
fourth, we extend grace and forgiveness for the brother and sister in Christ who has offended us in ways that are probably much less than we've done.
Right. So, and again, so we've already moved to the realization that we have to speak to them. So being forgiving doesn't mean I'm just not going to talk about it. But is that in my heart as I'm going in to speak to this person? If am I going with an attitude, I'm not holding this against you. I'm willing, I'm freely forgiving you, but I feel like I need to speak to you about this for your good. Rob?
The passage is about being a peacemaker, but the making peace.
Right, yeah.
Forgiving.
That's right. That's Jordan?
I think being ready to forgive is really important here because like if you come to someone and you kind of like beat them over the head with their sin, then you have an attitude of I'm not going to forgive you no matter what.
Or I'll wait and see. Let me see what you're going to do with this after I beat you up.
Like if you come to someone in more like this is what you did, I forgive you, but I just want you to let you know if you don't do it again instead of like I hope God crushes you because.
Right, right. And so now this is attitude level, right? So this is what how am I emotionally responding to this person right now? I know I have to speak. I've worked through that, but I am so angry at you right now that for your good I want to wring your neck. Right. I have to keep telling my dad that's not the right time to talk to my children. That's not the right attitude, right? Andrew.
Psalm 103:10 is very instructive. God's attitude in dealing with us. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
Yeah.
And there may be what we see is a just penalty or just result of what other people have done, and we're talking about things. But no, that's we treat them not in accordance with what they have done, but according to the grace.
Yeah, amen. And that's such an important thing. I think that's how it ends there. Christ has also forgiven us. Because what happens, Ron, go ahead. Yeah, is my attitude just nitpicky, looking at picking at other people, right? So at this attitude level, this doesn't change whether we should speak or not, but it maybe doesn't change whether I should speak now or not. Because if my attitude's not right, how do we fix our attitude? I think it's maybe you can find it in this verse here. But how do we fix our attitude? What's that? Well, okay, but what are we, in this verse, he gives us a reasoning here. What do you, Rob?
You meditate on what Christ has done for you, that will bring humility.
I think that's right. I mean, that's what the words are for. It's like, look, if you're so angry at this moment, do we not have any resources or recourse at that point to deal with our attitudes? No, we go back to Jesus. And I think what you were saying, Jordan, you're crying out to God, but you're crying out, God, help me remember what Jesus has done for me. Let me see how horribly I offended him and how graciously he responded to me. It's going to what Andrew was saying. Look, help me remember. For some reason, Lord God, I'm losing track of what you've done for me, and I'm being so judgmental to this person. And if we can just get to that point where we recognize that, then we keep going back to Jesus until we finally get this. And Lord, I get it. You love me. I can love this person. And you can adjust your attitude. It's wrong for us to feel like that we have no recourse for our attitudes. We do. We have the Holy Spirit. We have a God who will help us. So we cry out to the Lord and say, help me remember. We keep going back to Jesus until the attitude changes. But if the attitude doesn't change, if my attitude is judgmental, I'm getting that speck, I am angry, I want to make sure you are in the dirt and you are begging for forgiveness and then maybe I'll forgive you. It is not the right time to talk. We have to come back and say, Lord, help me. Help me get my attitude right. Help me be doing this in a faithful way. So this is gospel community. So we're not just talking, they're talking for gospel reasons because of what the Lord has done for us to knit us together to grow spiritually. So it's really important that we have these attitudes, our motivations, our heart right. We're talking. So we keep going back to Jesus until our attitudes change. We have this wonderful, amazing resource. Is my attitude right? Here, maybe we've already covered this. But speaking the truth in love, is my attitude to speak this truth in love? Is that my attitude? So that we can all grow up together. So as that motivation to serve, I'm feeling like whatever the thing is we're talking about, whether I'm coming to encourage you or I'm dealing with sin, am I saying it so that we can all grow up together and to be more like Jesus. What do you think, Mark?
I was just wondering what another word, attitude would be, or another way you would explain.
What is my emotional state? What is my going back to this? It's kind of that motivation word. Why am I speaking? But how am I emotionally engaging towards that person?
Yeah.
So the motive is for their good, but and usually that, if we can get that motive right, if we can get that service motive right, usually that's going to help get our attitude right, because we're thinking, I'm thinking for their good, so it helps me sort of diminish sort of the tamp down judgmentalism or anger, those emotions that make it, that inhibit that the words that we're saying. Because what we want to do is we want to say the words as helpfully and constructively as possible so that we can all be growing up together. That's what I had in my mind. Yeah. All right, how are we doing? Okay. All right, so fourth, do I have the truth? And I left Ephesians 4:15 up because it was applicable. Are we speaking the truth in love? Do we have the truth? Have we understood the situation? Proverbs 18:13 I thought was helpful. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. So do we understand our situation? Have we spent time to understand the perspective of what that person is going through, where they are? Have we given time to hear another side, or have we just jumped to a conclusion? Wow, you're really wrong here. I'm going to smash you. But have we taken the time to hear, to fully understand? Do we have the truth? This comes back to some of the assumptions. Remember our assumptions? Are we assuming the good? So it seems like what I'm seeing is like really questionable. Let me ask questions. Let me get in to understand it, understand maybe what's going on in your life. And then, again, that's going to help us making sure we know the truth. We're going to be more effective in how we're speaking. We're able to speak the truth in love. So truth is, I put in here, this assumes we're not trying to lie to one another. So I'm not talking about, are we trying to lie? That's an assumption, right? If you're lying, you're deceiving. That's the opposite. Deceiving, you're opposite of truth, opposite of love. But if we think we're true, right, have we spent the time to think about that? Allison?
That asking questions, a lot of times that is the best way into a hard conversation. There's always more to know. There's always something you don't know yet.
Yeah.
So think, how can I begin humbly, not by telling the person, but by asking and finding out more about what's going on with them.
Yeah.
And that may change the whole conversation.
Right. And it may not change the fact that there's still sin to deal with, but you'll be a lot more effective because you're dealing with the reality of that person, the truth of their situation as you talk about whatever it is you have to talk about.
And wanting to know them is loving them.
That's right.
That's part of love.
Prove
your love by doing that.
That's right. And so again, that situation of friendship is where you're proving that. You're taking the time to be engaged, to ask those questions. I'm not going to assume this bad thing. I want to know you. I want to understand what's going on in your life. And how do you feel about this? How do you feel about what's going on? Do you have pressures that are making this come out? Is this a reaction you've seen? And then you're having a conversation together about this difficult thing. But you're not just jumping down. So am I making sure, am I taking the time to make sure I have the truth? I think truth is, that's an important thing for us all to think about. It's easier for us to jump to a conclusion, and maybe this is a tangent I should not go down. I'm not going to go down that tangent. No, I'm not going to do it. No, we're keep going. Focus on it. Take time to make sure what you're saying is true, that you've understood, you've heard both sides, you know where they are. Number five, is it profitable? Are the words that I have to say, is it profitable? This can be just, you're coming to church, you encourage somebody, you can be thinking this long, but if you're dealing with sin, Is what I'm saying good? Is this a wholesome, profitable word? Proverbs 20:15 says, there is gold and an abundance of jewels, but the lips of knowledge are a more precious thing. So we have this ability. God has given us his holy word to know wisdom from God, the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to share words that are just precious to one another. Whether we're encouraging each other, whether we're reminding each other of truths, whether we're talking about sin, we have words that are precious. If we'll take time to think about what we're saying, have that self-control. So, is this good? Now, sometimes it's good to just sit around and joke with your buddy. Sometimes it's good just to ask questions about how are your kids doing? How's life with you? That's valuable. That's not, so I'm not saying that's not valuable, because that grows us together. We want to know each other whole life. But are we as a gospel community, are we thinking about how can I use my words, not just stopping there, stopping with that level of do I know you, with now let me get into your heart and your life, and let me share myself with you and the wisdom that God's given me and receive that back from you. Is what I'm saying profitable? Thinking about how you can speak. I think I had one more. Oh, we talked about this one last time. Remember, we were the first part of this section. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Are my words wholesome? Is it good for edification at the need of the moment to give grace? Those are just, when we think about praying before you come into church, like, Lord, help me have wholesome words. Help me think about giving grace to people. And then now, well, think about this when you're dealing with someone's sin. A really hard conversation with somebody. And as I've done this lesson, I thought, how many of us are having conversations with people about sin? We don't have it that often. But I think God's calling us into a gospel community. The more we get this, I think the more we should be getting into each other's lives where we actually see sin. And our love is such that we're saying, I need to talk about this sin. And so I'm thinking about that a lot. We even realizing maybe we don't do this very much. But maybe thinking maybe we should be. Not to be nitpicky, not be looking for sin, being critical. But are we such a gospel community that we still love each other that we're actually close enough to see each other's sin? Because, brothers and sisters, if you knew me, like my wife does, you'd know I was a sinner. And some of you know that already. If you're my home group, you know I'm a sinner. If you get really close to each other, you're going to know each other's a sinner. And sometimes you need to talk about those things. Sometimes you need to talk about, is this a good decision? Is this a wise thing? So this is good guidance. As you talk about that hard thing, are my words wholesome for this person? Am I giving grace to this person? And that's the idea of moving towards the good. That's what this is. It's saying, am I trying to take this person from their sin, from their bad decision, from their weakness, and move them more towards grace, more towards the good, more towards growing to know Jesus better? Are my words designed to try to help them move from this bad place into a better place? Is it edifying for them? Is it profitable? Anybody have any thoughts or here we go. I got a question for you. So let's see. And maybe this is too easy, but can you think of a scenario where you could either be constructive or destructive? And what would the difference be? What would that look like? So if I'm going to be constructive and not destructive, and I think maybe we've covered this already, so maybe I'm being too obvious. But what would that look like? What would that scenario look like? You have something to talk about. You can be constructive or you can be destructive, but the same kind of words, same kind of ideas, but a whole different way of saying it. What do you think? Can you think of anybody think of something like that? Maybe I've answered my own question by talking too much. Sue? Okay. So you're
identifying with the same thing or whatever.
Right. So you're and that brings in the friendship idea. I'm coming alongside you, and so that's how we're moving together. Where that's constructive. So I'm showing my solidarity with you. We are together. I'm not ostracizing you here. I'm saying let's try to do this better. Yeah, and saying, not only am I going to help you, I'd like for you to help me, right? So that's a constructive way of looking at that problem, where a destructive way would just be saying, look, that's really bad. What you're doing is, it's still true, it is maybe really bad. But what you're doing is just really bad, and I'm just disgusted by that. Destructive is focusing on that negative. Constructive is coming alongside. I really like that idea of you know, showing solidarity, you know, asking for help. You can't always do this, but that's thinking, how can I enter into the situation with the desire to help them move towards the good? So I want to be constructive.
Right.
Allison?
I think that idea should be brought into how we parent, especially as our kids get older, but in some early days.
Mm.
I remember Cindy Richel talking about when she brought those four little Brazilian boys home, just that she would talk to them in that sense that I need Jesus as much as you do.
Yeah.
And I think we can offer our kids grace by coming alongside and not treating sin like it hasn't been dealt with on the cross.
Yeah.
You know, we bring our, sometimes we say to our kids things like, I can't believe you did that. And that's so crushing because we do that. You know,
yeah.
We do the same stuff. Of course we can't believe they did it.
Why
should we be shocked?
Yeah.
So to be shocked and to treat sin like it's not a defeated thing, you know, it's still got power, but it's not raining anymore if the person's a Christian.
Yeah.
And if they're a kid, we want to hold that up for them, even if we're not sure they're saved.
Yeah.
That there's a place to go with your sin.
Yeah.
Let's go there together.
Yeah. Sometimes, and that's, I don't think the self-control aspect comes into this, because sometimes sin is shocking. And sometimes it is really, I mean, it's just, wow, I did not expect that. And you know, sin, by definition, is really bad. Right? But we're all, if we can take a moment to step back and then put ourselves back in Christ and say, look what you've done, I'm a sinner too, at least we can come back with solidarity and say, maybe you can't identify at all with the sin that you're seeing, but you can identify as a sinner. As I'm a sinner, this is, you know, I want to share with you, you know, I've been struggling with this. I'm not coming. I think Ron, you were saying the mote and the log. I'm not saying like I don't have a log in my own eye, but brother, I want to come beside you and say, look, I'm seeing this and I'm struggling with these other things. I see you struggling. Maybe we can help each other, hold each other accountable, grow together. Showing that solidarity helps us be constructive. Coming alongside when their show is constructive. Ron, you have a thought?
Yeah, we shouldn't be worrying too much about this problem. What we should be worrying about the grace. Here, and they may not take it right away. You have to stop and wait and see the results, but we can't say, it's going to be profitable right now.
Oh, right. It's a time thing, right? Edification, the words of edification, growing, feeding, those are long term. Is my goal and are my words designed, is my attitude designed to for them to grow? And that may take a long time for them to receive that, but is that what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to show them, help them to grow into grace. That's what that profitable word means. Am I trying to help them grow into that grace? Okay. Beth? I get that a lot with my kids when I'm having to discipline them. I have to keep catching myself. I'm not spanking you as an opposition of my love for you. I love you. That's why I'm doing this, right? And that's very different from our conversations. But that's right. You don't want your love to have a but at the end of it. Your love should be driving us in. That's helping that be constructive. It's not an opposition. Yeah, that's helpful. Anything else? Murray?
Again, in terms of being constructive, it really has to do with being loving. That means your concern is toward them, not toward yourself.
Right.
So if you come because you've been really hurt and you're expressing your hurt, that's not about them, that's about you.
Right.
So if the focus is, again, on helping them to be
right.
with them, not, you know, you've got to deal with
that's right. part of it. That's right. And now sometimes, right, having that goal, is it doing good? Am I trying to do sometimes it is motivational for someone to understand how much they've hurt you, right? But if that's the reason, you've made me hurt so bad. If that's the reason why I'm talking, then I'm not trying to be constructive. But if I'm using my hurt to say, brother, I know you would never want to do this, but the way you spoke to me, I know you would even think this would be, but this is how I responded, and it hurt me so badly. And this is why I've had this history, I've had this past, but those words were just like daggers into my heart. Then you're using that heart as a constructive tool to help them to grow, rather than a destructive tool. Say, don't you feel so bad? You should feel rotten. You're thoughtless in how you speak. That's being destructive. Rob?
As we're going through this, I'm thinking about a flip side where we're responsible to confess our sins to one another.
We want
to think, is it profitable? So is it the right person? You know, is it going to be building up?
Yeah, that's good.
Appropriate. But there is that responsibility where we are supposed to divulge struggles, and it's not just one person confronting, it's also that.
Amen. That's great. And I thought of this as I was thinking about confronting sin a lot, but this should deal with all of our talking. We have to ask these set up. We're going to do it at the end and go through some questions some more. But yeah, I didn't think about confessing sin, but that's a great one. going through the same list is, you know, pray, think about it. Should I be talking? Is this something I need to confess to somebody? Probably yes. And then who should the right person? Are these the right words? Is it good for that person to hear my sin? Because maybe that person you want to confess to, it would be really bad for them to hear your sin. But maybe not. So you got to find those right people. That was really helpful, Rob. Very good. I appreciate that. Is it the right time? So Ephesians 4:29 up for that purpose. Is it the need of the moment? Is this the right? Is it the right time for me to speak? Proverbs 15:23 says, "A man has joy in an apt answer. How delightful is a timely word? Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in the right circumstances. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear." So speaking in the right circumstances, an apt answer, a timely word, is it the right time? Now this takes some situational awareness, right? Is it the right time for us to speak? So what kind of things should we consider? Is it the right time? What do you think? How should we consider is it the right time? Ron? Maybe I haven't built a relationship. It's not at all near the right time. I have no relationship with it. I need to know you better. Ask a lot of questions before it's the right time to deal with something like that. Yeah, that's very good. Andrew?
Sorrow.
Right. So maybe they're already broken by something. Is that the right time to? I think you're really sinning in this, or it's maybe this is not the right time at all for that. Jordan? That's right. And that right. So look, they're already in a bad mood. They're already having a rough time. We do not have to say the words right now. And to say, look, let's schedule some time together. Find a good time where the words will be helpful. Lindsay?
You have enough time to talk about it.
That's right. Maybe 5 minutes of church. What were you saying, Lindsay? Sorry.
I just often want to get it out so bad.
Yeah.
We don't have enough time to talk about it.
Yeah, just go back to that self-control thing. So if my motivation is to serve that person, now maybe my motivation is to get it off my chest, right? I can't do it anymore. So that's not my service motivation. That's my self-motivation, right? So the service motivation, no, I really need to take some time. And maybe that's going to mean I need to schedule a lunch or get together with you and take some time to really work through something. And that's going to be self-control, thinking it through. A lot of this has to do with that self-control. Am I thinking through how we're speaking? Are we ruling our tongues or are we not? I think I saw a hand. John?
Talking about the right time to talk about it. Is it the right time and the way of setting? Like, are you talking about like confession of sin or anything? Like,
yeah. 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 Right. That's right. Sitting around with everybody at church, is this the right time to enter that conversation? And that's just really helpful. Yeah. Anybody else have thoughts about thinking through the right time? Oh, those are helpful comments. And 7, have I thought about the best words to use? Have I thought about how my words will be received? How to convey my thoughts in an effective way possible? I think Lindsay kind of goes back to what you're saying. Am I just responding with whatever's on the top of my head, or am I actually? This is an important thing to talk about. I want to use my words well. So let me think about how I will say them. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Have I pondered my words? Am I able to speak gently, constructively, effectively? Is my desire to serve them so great that I want to be careful how I'm speaking so that my words will be effective? Ron? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So that's very situational. The best words for this brother may be very different from the best words from this sister or this brother. So you have to know that person. Are these the best words? Is this the best way to do it? Is this a good way to do it? Now, I have a concern with this lesson. My concern is that I can't do all this stuff. I can't talk. This is too hard. I can't. The point of this isn't don't talk to each other until you are a perfect communicator. The goal of this is for us to have a gospel-saturated community where our communication is saturated with the gospel. This is the stuff we want to try to start thinking about. Do these sort of questions even enter into our thinking as we start talking to one another, confronting one another, confessing to each other, encouraging one another? And in a minute, if we have time, we're going to talk about how we receive these things. We're going to receive it all messed up because we're all going to mess up this. We're going to say things at the wrong time. We're going to say things with the wrong attitude. We're going to say things with the wrong words. How do we receive those? It takes gospel on the other side of how we receive it all. The point isn't to get so, do I have the best words? I mean, how do I know if I have the best words? I mean, how do I even figure that out? These are goals. These are motivations for us to try to be more self-controlled, to be thoughtful, be more effective and loving in the way that we're talking to each other. So that's why I'm giving you these things, not to shut you down, like how bad we are. I am not great at all these things. You know, our own self-knowledge is going to grow and as we try to do better with these things. But I'm putting before you these biblical principles, biblical things that we should be striving for, that we should be praying about. God, help me to do this better. Help me to think more carefully about these words. Help me to think more clearly about these words. And I mean, maybe you'd like these questions from me. I just got them out of that Wayne Mack book. I think I tweaked them a little bit, put them in a different order. But I'd be happy to give them to you. Just to think about, are these words for us to, are these ways for us to think? The same thing, so we're going to skip that. But here's the list. You know, pray, put that in between each one. The questions, do I need to speak? Is my attitude right? Do I have the truth? Is it profitable? Is it the right time? And have I thought about the best words to use? So I thought about this. If Rob, you're talking about if you're confessing. So like, how would you run through this list if you have a confession to make to somebody? So again, you want to pray, and then so you ask, do I need to speak? Should I find someone to confess this to? And maybe there are things you've confessed to the Lord, your soul's free of that. You don't have a burden. It's not a great temptation to you. You don't need to share that. Maybe you don't need to. But you work through that. Do I need to share it? Or no, I still feel this temptation. I need someone in here with me, so I need to confess it. Okay, yes, I need to speak. Is my attitude right? Okay, am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Am I doing this so they think, oh, look how super spiritual he is. He's confessing sin to me. Wow, he must really be a super spiritual guy. Is that what I'm wanting, or am I really wanting help to grow? And do I have the truth? Probably. Okay, I have the truth. I'm a sinner. Is it profitable? Who's the person that I should speak to? Is it the right time? Is it the right place to confess that sin? And how am I going to confess it in the most helpful way to that brother as they hear me and so to allow them to help me? So you can work through that list on how to confess sin. Or how about, I want to come to church and encourage somebody. I just want to encourage them. We can do the list again. Do I need to speak? Yes, you do. If you need to, please come and encourage people. Just put a big yes there. Is my attitude right? Okay, that's good to work through. As you pray, am I encouraging people so they think I'm super spiritual? Or maybe I'm wanting them not to ask me questions, so I'm going to keep talking about these things. Is my attitude right? Do I have the truth? Okay, maybe am I encouraging them in something maybe that I'm thinking they're struggling with, but I haven't really actually taken the time to know them to see if they really are struggling with it. Am I asking them questions as I'm encouraging them? Is it profitable? Am I encouraging them in a profitable way? Is it a good time? Probably. It's always good to encourage people. Have I thought about the best words to use? How am I trying to do this? So I mean, it should be huge things to think through, but you can think through this kind of list, like run through. How can I use these words? What words am I saying? Is this the right time? How's my attitude? What's my motivation? So you can see how you can run through this list with all kinds of situations, all kinds of conversations. Is how am I speaking? Now we have 10 minutes, and I have a little bit left if I talk about listening. So I'm hoping we get through this last section. And then we'll be done, and we won't come back to this next time. So we'll see if we can get through. So I'm going to cut this off now. Does anybody have any questions, other big ideas or holes I've missed here? Ron?
I think on this here, we're talking about relationships. I think the small groups, if you really bond with a small group, could all of this get resolved without the small group.
Right. Well, yes, we have small group. We have one-on-one mentoring. Whenever you need that, that's what we need more of, is more of our getting in those groups, getting in those relationships, so we have that friendship situation where we're able to go do this, right? So that's going back to gospel community. Community is being together. We're actually knowing each other, so we're building these relationships so we can enter into these kind of conversations. So this is all goal for us, right? How do we do this better? How do we know each other better, talk to each other better? You know what? I'm not going to do it. We have like 8 minutes. I'm going to have to fly through these. So let's leave listening till next time. And we have a significant part of listening, and I'll think through it some more for next time. But we only have 8 minutes, and I think it would be just frustrating to do that. So let's for you to think about today, think about speaking. How are you using your words? The next time we'll think about, and that's just next week, so we'll be right back to it. How are we receiving these words? Because we're all going to mess up. So how can we pour the gospel into how we receive those words? Murray?
I wasn't going to say this because you were trying to pester me, but not that you have or not.
Excellent.
early on, and time and again through this lesson, really is the last several lessons, but it just hasn't hit me until now. You've stated the idea that we should be coming to church aware that our speech matters and aware that we can use our tongues profitably in a setting that we're working together. Yeah. The flip side of that, of course, is we're told in James that the tongue can tear things down, set things on fire.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's the negative side that we're being warned against. That's all okay, bad in place. But I think it's really significant for us to think, if we're building relationships and if we are one in Christ together, there really ought to be looking for opportunities to speak into one another's lives.
Yeah.
So much has to do. I know some are more, are stronger communicators than others, but we all fall.
Yeah.
And easier for some than for others, that's fine. But I just think it's a significant thing to be conscious that our tongues can make us useful to one another.
Yeah.
Off and on through the years, I won't say that I do it all the time, but when we have a Lord's Supper, and then we're meditating, closing the service, or when the service ends, it's not Lord's Supper, and there's that postlude. I personally love that if there's a postlude. I just think that's helpful. We used to, in the old days, play two verses. And the first verse, I would try to make it my habit to be thinking and applying what was preached to me. Mm. And the second verse, I try to be praying that the Lord would make me useful in the next one. Mm-hmm. I'm not as good as I should be, but I'm just saying that reminded me of a mindset
Okay. Chuck.
Close, you have time already coming.
Yeah.
With the list here, what are the things, like you said, we mess up, we don't communicate all the way around, and maybe there's an eighth item there, which is follow up. Back to the person and say, did you hear, I was trying to say this, what did you hear?
Yeah, that's good.
Type of thing, and how did it lead you?
Yeah.
So just put that in our. A little mental quote, and then go back to that person and see if it's settling or festering.
Checking up. Did it turn out to be effective? Did it turn out to do good, or did it not? If I'm really wanting to serve them, I really want to know, did it do good or not? And do I need to come back? And maybe I didn't have the best words. I thought I did, but let me try again, and let me try to work back and be more expressive. That's very helpful. And again, Murray, I think that's really, again, all this is trying to do is help us to reset our thinking of how are we planning? How are we hoping to use our words? Or does this even enter into our thinking? Am I trying to do good with my words? Am I trying to speak well? Am I trying to encourage other people? Can we think about our words? And so much of the New Testament, even in today's sermon, we have some other words that we should not be, right? Those so many, throughout the New Testament, don't be deceitful. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be malicious. Because it's so, and it's our words It's our words that communicate our mind to another person's mind. If we don't use our words, then they can't know that. So it's called for honest, open, real communication, not hypocrisy, not hiding, not malice, but loving serving. Sandy, I see you creeping up a hand there.
I'm getting a vision for a lot of this, especially the verse a few slides back about growing up together.
Mm-hmm.
And in Christ, I immediately pictured we growing up and how close it grows next to each other and how it can brush and rub against each other. But if it's all into Christ, then we, you know, that there's this closeness that we, you know, to be in Christ is
yeah.
to be close to each other.
Yeah.
And a brushing into each other could be rough sometimes, but yeah. it comes back up to straight.
And the way we are that, and so we're trying to live out that closeness. And like what Murray was saying, maybe we're not gifted speakers. And my wife keeps reminding me, she cannot know what I'm thinking unless I speak it. And I'm not the most horrible speaker. I'm an introvert, and when I get home, I just want to be quiet. But I can't. My wife cannot know me unless I speak. Now they can know something about you. Oh, that guy likes to serve. That guy likes to. But they can't know you unless you're speaking. And if you feel like I can't speak very well, okay, that's going to go back to some motivation issues. So is my motivation for them to think that I can speak well, that I think I'm a spiritual person, they think that I'm eloquent, or is my motivation I want to be known, I want to love them, and I want to, as best I can, show some love to them? That's going to help me move past a fear of, oh, they're going to think I can't speak well. Oh, this isn't my personality. My motivation is to love others. That's going to move me out of that into other people's lives. So you do hard things, to speak when I don't want to speak, I don't feel like I'm capable. But I'm going to trust the Lord. It goes back to trusting the Lord, going back to Christ. We have resources. We have recourse. We have a great spirit in us to help us when it's hard to do these great things. Well, let me pray for us, and we'll actually end on time this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you so very much. You are a great God, and you care about us so much. We marvel about how you care about how we speak to each other and how we treat each other. So, Lord, would you please come and help us as a congregation to love each other more, desire to serve each other more, to get in each other's lives more, that we might grow up together, loving you more, realizing how close we are in Christ, and expressing our hearts to each other, and then receiving one another, and what a joy that will be. So, Father, would you please help us to do this well, to speak well, to communicate clearly, following up with each other, growing and growing. Would you bless us? Now, bless us as we come in the next hour to worship and pray to you, sing to you, and hear your word. Please, Lord, in Jesus' name, come. Amen.